We'll get into today's sermon, which begins Romans chapter 14, which, if you are familiar with the entirety of the book, there's 16 total chapters, so we're really getting close here. God willing, if everything goes accordingly, the end of June will be completed the book, and we'll start a summer of Psalms in which we'll be going through different Psalms, and there'll be a couple speakers other than myself that come in only because I have some other obligations and so on and so forth, but for the most part, I'll be here. But I'm just letting you know, summer, we all live a little bit differently, so I always do a series rather than a book because I know some of you will be missing a month, 2 months, a week here and there, so just to try to be flexible and accommodate that. Let's pray, and then we'll get into Romans chapter 14. God willing, the first 12 verses, I realized after preparing this in the beginning of the week that I couldn't get through the whole chapter in fairness, so I calling this Diet Days in the More Excellent Way, Part 1. And then, God willing, next Sunday we'll complete the second part of Chapter 14. God, thank you. Once again, as we gather here and we have much to celebrate, the birth of a new baby and another year to celebrate life, and so many other reasons, just your goodness, God, the different families and couples and individuals that you've been adding to this fellowship, God, we say thank you so much, God. And we pray for others, if you would bring them, if this is their home, that you would bring them, God, that the Spirit would lead them. And Father, for the text today, that you would illuminate it to your bride, that you would give ears to hear to each person sitting not only in the seats today, but maybe at home, God. Think of Janet and others, Lord, that aren't able to be here today, but God, that you would just minister to them the same way. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name, and all of the SBC family said, amen and amen. So be it. Romans chapter 14, break down the first 12 verses this way. 1 through 4 is diet. 5 and 6 are days or feast days, holy days. And then 7 through 12 is getting back to the major or the more excellent way. And that comes from the Apostle Paul in, coincidentally, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He starts off by saying, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Why? Because there was all this strife and division going on about the spiritual gifts in Corinth. And Paul concluded this 3-chapter explanation of gifts, proper use of gifts, misuse, by saying, I'm going to show you a more excellent way, and it's the way of love. And the same would apply, really, with some of these topics we're going to tackle today, specifically the diet of the day back then with the Christians in the Rome, with different holy days and feasts, and then the apostle bringing them all back to the major, to what matters most, and that's Jesus Christ and his supremacy, his lordship, his love, his leading. Chapter 14, verse 1 says this, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat everything or all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him that does not eat, and let not him which eats not judge him that does eat, for God has received him. Who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So those first 4 verses, the apostle inspired the Holy Spirit, is specifically addressing the diet, the food concerns of the day. And particularly, some of the Christians in Rome thought for religious reasons they should abstain from certain kinds of food, particularly meat. So henceforth, you see the meat and then you see the herbs. And as I already mentioned, as we'll be addressing those areas which have caused division, concern, and even confusion for some Christians, and the apostles addressing these Jewish converts that were accustomed to several feasts, like the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. There were 7 total. They also had several, lived by several dietary laws, which allowed certain foods to be consumed and others to be forbidden. Well, the gospel of grace changed all that. These major areas pre-conversion needed to become minor areas for those who have entered into a new life with Christ Jesus. The same applies to us today in our approach. We, the body of Christ, have had a tendency to strain a gnat and swallow a camel in pertaining to these type of topics. And Paul once again reminds the readers of the day and reminds us today that Jesus is to be our Lord, He is our Savior, He is the major topic, always in all our lives. Eating certain foods, as he says, welcome the weak in the faith, but not to dispute opinions. That's what that King James word, disputations, which is really not a word we use anymore. Welcome the weak in the faith, but not to dispute opinions. Eating certain foods that were restricted would be viewed, you see, as sin. Like I said, the Christians in Rome wondering if they should consume meat or not. You eat meat, another newer, weaker believer eats herbs, or vegetarian, let's say. Do not despise the carnivore. Do not despise the vegan or the vegetarian. And you see, this goes back to Romans chapter 12, when the Apostle Paul was trying to get the reader to understand, to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed. Don't be thinking the old way, the old covenant. That's dead. There's a greater testament now. You're a new creature in Christ. Stop thinking the way you used to. You are indoctrinated into something that has passed away. And see, we have to understand something. We all have been indoctrinated into certain beliefs. And being around the body of Christ, I can tell you, all of us have it wrong in some area. All of us. I have not met one Pentecostal, Baptist, or Lutheran who has every single thing correct. You say, how can you say that? Well, how can there be five different views on the rapture and you're all born-again Christians? How can there be 10 different views on the spiritual gifts and you all claim to believe the inerrancy of the Word of God? But you cannot disagree on the major. You cannot disagree that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, truly God, truly man, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, that the Word of God is inspired from Genesis to Revelation. Can't dispute on some of those things. What we tend to do is, as I mentioned, and Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, when he said, you strain a gnat and you swallow a camel. Why are you majoring in the minors? Why? Why are you doing this? Are you losing sight of the most important thing? Christ in his preeminency? I hope that's not us today. I hope that's not us, and I know that's the sentiment of the Apostle Paul. In writing this, listen to some Jewish dietary laws. I mean, there were certain animals that couldn't be eaten at all. The restrictions include the flesh, organs, eggs, and milk of the forbidden animals. All blood must be drained from the meat or cooked out before it's eaten. Certain parts of permitted animals may not be eaten. Meat, the flesh of birds and mammals cannot be eaten with dairy. Fish, eggs, fruits, vegetables, and grains can be eaten with either meat or dairy. According to some views, fish may not be eaten with meat. And the list goes on and on. I want to read one verse to you. And this has to do with the laws prohibiting the consumption of meats and dairy. Together originates in a phrase quoted three times in the Torah. That's the first five books of the Bible. It says, do not see the kid in its mother's milk. And then Jesus would ask a question after these first four verses pertaining to these dietary laws and disputes. And there's the question, who are you to judge another man's servant? Why are you so concerned about your brother eating this garbage plate? But yet you're going back and you're lying on your taxes. You see? We have a tendency to major in the minors. And that is not the more excellent way. See, because again, the same thing was going on in Corinth. The same thing was going on in Corinth. This one had a tongue. This one had a... This one was doing this. And Paul says, how is it? How are you... Why are you operating this way? And he explained it. He put everything in order. He says, do not forbid tongues. Do not despise prophecy. Let me show you a more excellent way. Can you get your mind transformed a little bit? Can we start thinking about the one who suffered and died for you? Can we start being focused on things above? And can we grow in maturity? Can we become disciples of Christ? Stop arguing about who's the greatest. And stop arguing about he should eat that and you shouldn't eat that. And it's this holy day and it's that holy day. This is what he's dealing with. We still deal with it today. People get offended. I want to give you an illustration. Imagine this. I didn't even realize this, that we were going to have steak and eggs today. Well, ham and eggs. I had no idea. This is you'll have a human objects lesson at the end. Imagine. I read to you some of the dietary laws of the days for the Jewish people. Imagine eating a nice, rare, bloody steak and eggs. You go out to breakfast. Let's go over to Johnny D's with Tom, because he lives over there. So if you go to Johnny D's, you're going to see Tom. They know him by name. I think they're going to get a little plaque for him. Well, Tom invites you out to breakfast, and you get a rare steak. It's a little bit bloody. And eggs. And because of this violation of Jewish dietary law, the person he invited, unknowingly to him, is offended. They don't say anything, of course, but they are so offended that Tom would order a rare steak. Why? Because there's blood and it's mixing with eggs, and all of a sudden, you no longer see this person at SBC. Welcome to the church today. You see, my friends, this is not the more excellent way. This is not the way of Christ. That is not the way of love. Now, stumbling a brother, that's part two. But if you don't have knowledge of this, and let me tell you something, don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk around people. If you know somebody has been an alcoholic or struggles with alcohol, don't you dare order a glass of wine in front of them. Christian, you know why? That is unloving and that is selfish. You're more concerned about you pleasing your palate than your brother who used to be in bondage to that area. That's not the more excellent way. You see? It's not about the meat. It's not about the wine. It's not about the holy day. It's about God and your brother. The greatest two commandments, that's what it's about. That should always be our focus. How we approach the minors should be based upon how we approach the major. And we need to keep that in mind as we move forward. Now, who are we to judge another man's servant? The first question that's asked in this text. Now, he moves on, and he goes to the days. He says, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. I want you, if you're taking notes, or if you have an iPad or iPhone, I really encourage you. This is such a pivotal verse in this passage to help you understand and make future decisions. Let every man or person, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That's the answer to these topics. We're so concerned about what everybody else is doing. I can't believe. Did you see that person? They had this to drink. That person ate that. Did you see this person do that? Oh my gosh, I can't believe they celebrate this. Do you see the way they celebrate that? Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Do you know why the Word of God says that? Do you know why the Holy Spirit says? Because He gave you a mind. He wants you to worship Him with your mind. So prayerfully ask for an answer, what course of action to take in subjects in which you have liberty. Subjects that are minors. It's not your major, it's your minor. Subjects that people continue to disagree on, and they're not going to come to complete clarity this side of eternity. And I've watched it. And I've seen tribes and camps be so haughty, they stink of pride. They think they got all the answers and no one else knows. It's this version of the Bible. It's this way. And you know what that is? Indoctrination. That's what you've been taught. Is that true? Have you been fully persuaded of it in your own mind? Have you sought it out? Have you prayed over it? Or are you just being spoon-fed some garbage? Something that's wrong. Raise your hand. I'm going to ask for group participation. Raise your hand if, as you have been walking with the Lord, you have changed your thought on a certain biblical doctrine. Raise your hand, please. Thank you. There's the proof. Who are we to judge another man's servant? So now, as he goes into the days, he says in verse 6, he that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. He that regards not the day, to the Lord he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives God thanks. I want to pause there. It makes it really simple. Now, the King James is wordy, but if you read a new modern more translation, you'd understand. He's basically saying, hey, You celebrate, you don't celebrate, you don't, you do it unto the Lord. In a nutshell. Let me just read to you about our friend, the Apostle Peter, who he gets blamed for everything. He's known as having a short fuse and short temper and all that. Well, so are you and I often, in fairness. But here is Peter, post-conversion, post-Pentecost, post-walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, but the renewing of the mind, the rewiring is still happening. The old way of thinking, this old covenant, has been done away with by a new, but he is still being transformed. Why? Because he was indoctrinated into the law, thinking you must live by the letter. So what does he do? In Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16, I'm going to read to you. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, that's about noon, and he became very hungry. It is about lunchtime. And would have eaten, but while they were made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and saw a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners. And it let down to the earth. And there was all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, isn't this amazing? Now, Peter's going to correct God again. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Indoctrination. Peter, that's done. You were wrong about this. I did away with all this. It's all behind you now. And the voice spake again unto him the second time, what God has cleansed, that thou call not thou common. This was done 3 times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. See, Peter was frustrating the grace of God. We frustrate the grace of God when we put these yokes on people that you cannot bear. That's called being a hypocrite. I have discovered something. The older I get and the more I walk with the Lord, I discover it more and more. I have enough trouble with my own walk. I have enough trouble tending to this guy, his soul, his mind. I have enough. I don't have to be so consumed. I don't have to be part of the sin IA. I don't have to be going around searching out everybody's little problem areas so that I can call them out, even though I may be doing something worse. You see, again, Paul's trying to get this through. And you'll see in part 2 the importance of loving your brother in this. Listen to what Timothy 4:5 states, that every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it's sanctified, it's set apart, how? By the word of God in prayer. Now, does that mean garbage plates, Big Macs, Whoppers? Now, if you eat these things, which I occasionally do, I'll admit, I don't expect God to supernaturally extract the chemicals and the fat. I don't accept it. Why? Because he gave me a brain. It's not a good food choice. But you get the point. I'm also not going to sit there and gun down everybody when I see them. If I see your car at a McDonald's in a drive-thru, I'm not going to snapshot it, put it on Facebook and say, look at this person. That's not my job. He gets into the days. Let me just talk to you about the days for a moment. As I told you, being convinced or persuaded in your own mind is so critical, especially when it comes to controversial minor topics in the body of Christ. See, deep-rooted religiosity of holy days had to be addressed by the apostle. Why? Because to not celebrate or honor these days would seem blasphemous or sacrilegious to the Orthodox Jew. Remember last week, Mother's Day, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, where did they go every year? To celebrate Passover. It's what they did. Leviticus 23 lists 7 feasts in order of their seasonal observance. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and booths or tabernacles. Last week we celebrated Mother's Day. Do you realize some countries, they don't have Mother's Day? So you shouldn't be offended if we didn't celebrate it. Or if we just said Happy Mother's Day and I just stayed in the text. No one told me I had to teach a Mother's Day lesson. You see, this is things we get hung up on. Well, I can't believe you didn't teach about mothers today. I didn't have to teach about mothers. I was convinced in my own mind to do it. You see? But people get upset about the smallest things. Why? Because they're majoring in the minors. That's not the more excellent way. China has 7 holidays. Pakistan, 9. USA, 11. Russia has 8. Nepal, 32 national holidays. See, we are so myopic, we don't think about anybody but ourselves. We don't even realize that all these holidays we celebrate, all these other countries, Nepal has way more than us. They're different holidays, and we get caught up in them. And before I break down some real practical ways to look at this, I want to look at one more passage that applies to this teaching. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Guess who? Peter again. Peter says, when Peter came to Antioch, I had to go against him, oppose him to face. For what he did was very wrong. See, sometimes you got to tell people, you're very wrong in doing this. Plain and simple, you were wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile, that's the non-Jewish believers, who were not circumcised. Remember, that was the rite of passage. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid. Criticism. From these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Now, that's bad in two ways. Number one, it's showing partiality. It's not right. Number two, it's stumbling others, particularly other leaders. When I saw they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? He's saying, Peter, you're being a hypocrite. You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners. And he says this with a meaning, tongue in cheek, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God, how? By faith in Jesus Christ. Not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we've obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. You can relate to Peter. I mean, he was hanging out with the people he wasn't supposed to, even though there was nothing wrong because Christ has come and now there's no barrier anymore. It's not about what you eat or what days you celebrate. And he's sitting down eating, and all of a sudden he hears Paul's coming to town. Before Paul, he separates from these people. And what is he doing? He's going back to the things that have passed away. Why? Because he was indoctrinated. He was indoctrinated. He was all in. This is how you live. This is how you eat. This is what you do. And you know what he's still discovering? Even though he's filled with the Holy Spirit, even though he's born again, even though God used him to preach at Pentecost and add 3,000 to the church, you know what's still happening? His mind is still being renewed. It's still being transformed. All this garbage is still coming out of him. He's still trying to understand this New Testament. And we have to be patient and gracious with people as well. People who are coming out of Catholicism, for example. We're so hard on Catholics. Oh, the saints, bah, 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 bah. And you know who that person was? They used to be Catholic. Stop looking at it that way. How about looking at it this way? God used the seed of the Word of God in the Catholic Church to bring you to Christ. We are so caught up in the majors in the body of Christ. So caught up in it. So what does it keep you from doing? Loving people. The way Christ would have you love them. Remember the taxes thing? I mean, did Jesus seem really stressed out about that? When they were all excited, here we go. We're going to get them now. Hey, Jesus, should we pay taxes? And he's like, okay, who's on the coin? Caesar, okay, go ahead, pay taxes and give unto God what's God. He wasn't real stressed out about it. You know why? He was a minor. Wasn't a minor, he was a major. He's more concerned about those that would be fully devoted to him, follow him and walk with him, even unto death. And the people that do that will lead others. They'll lead others to Christ in word and in deed, in their witness. Here on earth, Peter was still being transformed, reprogrammed by the Holy Spirit. Even after God spoke to him 3 times, he was indoctrinated the majority of his life. It's a lesson for us to grow, to learn from others, to be willing to change. To be willing to change. Isn't that amazing? So here comes the major now. Verse 7, for none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. The rich and the poor meet together, the Lord is maker of them all. No partiality with God. For whether we live unto the Lord, verse 8. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, die, we are the Lord's. Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Now he asks another question, which really dovetails or connects to why do you judge another man serving? He says, why do you judge your brother? Why do you set at naught your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue will confess to God. That's Philippians 2:10. To the glory of God the Father, he says in Philippians 2:10. Straining the gnat, swallowing a camel, majoring in the minors. Well, let me get into the days before we get to the closing section. It's talked a lot about the diet and gave you a couple passages about the diet and people being divided over foods in that day. How about some practical? How about let's focus in now. Let's be a little myopic. Let's focus on our backyard America here. I'll just mention a few major holidays to you. Christmas. Well, with Christmas comes Santa Claus, trees, stockings, excess spending, all for the fact that Jesus was not born on December 24th or 25th. Did you know that? He was not born on December 25th or 24th or 25th. So, but what are you persuaded of in your own mind? Is it that you remember the birth of our Savior? That's wonderful. Then celebrate. But I know other Christians, they don't celebrate because they know it's not that date. Praise God. You don't have to celebrate. There's nothing in the Bible that says have a day called Christmas. Something to think about. I mean, trees have caused division. Christmas trees. Some say, well, it's... Think of life. The lights made me think of the light of the world. Be persuaded in your own mind. Go with the Spirit, what the Lord is leading you to do, according to His Word. How about Easter? By the way, Easter's only referred to in the Scriptures one time. It has nothing to do with Easter. It's not Resurrection Sunday. Bunnies, eggs, egg hunts, baskets, all honoring who? Ashtoreth, the fertility goddess. Did you know that? But what are you convinced of? Do the rabbits speak of life? Do the eggs speak at least a little bit of the Trinity? Are you celebrating resurrection? You see? But these are topics in which we divide over. And that's not the heart of God, nor is it the will of God. You can agree to disagree. You don't want to do an Easter egg hunt? That's great. Don't do it. How about this one? Now I'm going to really step on some toes. Halloween. Ghouls, goblins, costumes, trick-or-treating. And then, of course, there's the church version of Halloween called a harvest party. I mean, come on, let's be honest here. Halloween light. But here's the question. How is your family persuaded? How is God leading your family? And if the family across the street who loves Jesus Christ and is sold out and is born again, why are you disfellowshipping with them because they dress up as an Avenger? I mean, just think about that for a minute. Now, I'm going to get personal to help you. As I was telling Melissa today about God has really given me a heart for the families here and the families. Why? Probably because now I've walked through it so I can completely relate. It's like, man, what can I give to this? So I'm just going to give you personal testimony as a father and as the head of a home for the Denisi family. Okay? We've never worn costumes, my kids. They've never went trick-or-treating. Never. Now, they've been to harvest parties. In fact, I led one when I took over the children's ministry many years ago, my former church. But they didn't dress up at them. Someone comes to the door, we tell them about Jesus and give them some candy or a few bucks. That's what we're fully persuaded of. You don't have to agree. But question, do you think Jesus is really scared? Do you think the light of the world is scared of some kid dressed up like a skeleton? See, for my family, that's what we're fully convinced of. This is what we're going to do. You know what's amazing? After 50 years, the kids never even question it. Why? Because I'm indoctrinating them. Good indoctrination. Okay? I want them to follow. Now, when they get older, guess what? If all of a sudden they get their little kids and they're holding by hand, they take them trick-or-treating, no, not my choice. But I'm not going to say, that's it, you're not coming over for dinner anymore on Sunday. How can you say that the love of God dwells in you? Over candy, over a, you know, Big Bird outfit or whatever. It's a bad reference, old, I know. I realize that as I said it. But you get the point. Do you know what Paul is telling these blessed believers, these new converts? That God is so much bigger than these things. God doesn't sweat Santa Claus. I mean, I remember as a young parent, so concerned, my wife and I, what do we do? What do we do if kids die? What do they do? They're going to bring up Santa Claus. And as soon as we just took the approach of, you know what? Our kids know where we stand. It'd be awesome. I would love listening when adults would ask them what they think about Santa Claus. I'd just sit back, a big smile as they're answering. I remember a kid. Now, do we have any small ones in the room right now? All right. I'm not going to touch the Santa Claus thing, okay? But here's what I'm going to tell you. We are fully persuaded who Santa Claus is in our own mind, okay? There is a real guy named St. Nicholas. So bottom line is this. Here's what I'm telling you. God's way bigger. You don't have to be stressed out come every end of October. You don't have to be stressed out come Resurrection Sunday because your aunt might give an Easter basket to your kid. Big deal. I remember going up to a pastor years ago when I was seeking this advice, and I said, Pastor Dave, it's not Dave Tommaso, it's a different Dave, okay? I said, Pastor Dave, what do you do? I mean, this was a big thing for me. What do you do if somebody gives you a chocolate bunny? I meant it at the time, okay? I mean, this is a big parental problem, a chocolate bunny. And he goes, he had this raspy voice. He goes, well, he goes, Dom, I'd probably eat it. It's Italian guy, you know, kind of like the Alancis here. Imagine them answering that question. But it's the truth. And I just thought, wow. And as Leslie and I grew as parents, and as our kids are getting older, and now our first is preparing to marry, and the second one is a girlfriend, and, you know, and this just goes on, you realize, wow, you grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus, and you realize, my God's way bigger than this stuff. Yep, I'm fully persuaded what direction I'm going in. But my God's way bigger than this. I'm not going to disfellowship with somebody over minor things. Like, these aren't even, that's a cultural issue within the body of Christ, how you celebrate. But you see, these things were going on. Could you imagine every year, Passover? Well, what if you got sick, you couldn't make it? What if you're on your deathbed, you couldn't go to Passover? Does God curse you? What if you couldn't make Christmas service? Does God not bless your Christmas Eve dinner? You see, we gotta be transformed by the new of our mind. We have liberty in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. Our major topic, all of us should have a degree in following Jesus Christ, His word, His will, His way. And then you have minors that you can study. But never flip-flop the two. Don't replace them. You know what the church has done today? You want to know how they've replaced the major with the minor? Here's what they've done. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't you love that? Love your neighbor as yourself. God is love. God accepts everyone. Love your neighbor as yourself. But you don't love Jesus. See, you don't worship Christ. So you can't fully agape your neighbor. You can't do it. God said love him preeminently with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then that will be a byproduct. You won't be so caught up on Halloween. You won't be so caught up on what the person's eating. We got to be careful of the tactics, the devices of Satan in the church today. Entertainment, social relevance. I love the body of Christ. I hope you know that. And I love this church. I hope you know that. I hope you know both things. I really do. I can say that with a pure heart. Can I tell you some of the things I see popping up in our backyard in the name of churches? Do you know how it makes me? Please forgive me. Let me think of the right word to say. Okay, I got it. Makes me sad and it makes me sick. Makes me sick and it makes me sad. Just garbage. Because the word of God is not good enough. Because we have to do it some other way. Because we have to manufacture the Holy Spirit. Study to show yourself approved. Love people fervently. How do you do it? Just surrender to Christ. And you can't help it. It'll be God's Spirit in you. You saw what the Apostle Paul did. He went right to Peter. He said, I write to him. I told him the truth. In front of everybody. He was probably a little embarrassed. You know why? It was needful. Love rejoices in the truth, not in iniquity, not in lawlessness. I'm going to ask the Ronaldos to come back for our closing song here, if they would. I just have a couple things to think about as we close. And again, remember, there is some, if you want, there's some of the food in the back. I think my wife and Bob have been working to get it together. Well, let me just ask you a couple things or a couple points to reflect on and consider. Think about this. We are often so concerned about what others are doing or not doing, we forget about our own accountability to God. You ever realize that? It's like a General Hospital in the church. He's doing this. And guess what? Meanwhile, you are fading away. You're just slowly fading away from your anchor. You're fading away from the will of God, the word of God, the work of God, the love of God. You could be like that church, the loveless church, the church of Ephesus, where he says, you're doing all this stuff, and man, you have no love. You're straining gnats. You're swallowing camels. How about this? As I already mentioned, I think it's worth repeating. Me personally, I have enough to stay on the right path. It's hard enough for me, quite honestly, to stay on the right path as a man, as a husband, a father, as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel. It's hard enough for me, just myself. My walk requires daily maintenance, daily. Instead of majoring in the minors, let's focus on the major. You know why? And this is the ending. Because you are in your last days. Let me explain. I had a young lady ask me a really good question. She said, do you think we're in the last days? And the Holy Spirit gave it to me right on the spot. I said, you know what? I know one thing for sure. I'm in my last days. And I can speak the same for you. You are in your last days. Is Christ coming back? Of course. Yeah, he's going to come back. When? I can't tell you the exact date. You look around you. I mean, if you live in Rochester, you think he's coming in a minute because of our weather. Christ is coming back, but here's what I know for sure. Here's what I live with every day. Here's my object lesson. I'm getting older. My mind is not the same. My body's not the same. More memory loss. More hair loss. More all this stuff. And I know that I'm in my last days. Do you know you're in your last days? I hope you do. Now, what's the point? Destination, citizenship, kingdom of heaven. That's the point. You're a sojourner, Paul said. You're a pilgrim, Paul said earlier in the letter to the Romans. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep loving him and loving people. There's times to talk about holy day. You can do that. You can do it maturely and you can learn from each other and God might even end up changing you through it. But don't major in it. Don't major in it. Major in Christ. Him crucified. The Apostle Paul said, I determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. God didn't call me to baptize. He called me to preach the gospel. And I pray that your heart is centered on the love of God, the word of God, the will of God, and the work of God. Lord, we thank you for this time today. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that doesn't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, it's so good when brethren dwell together in unity. There is a commanded blessing that comes, Lord. And so as we continue to sing unto you, I thank you for the beautiful music you've allowed us to partake in this morning. Thank you for the beautiful people who have joined us this morning. You look at them that way. You look at them and you call them beloved. Even if they don't feel like it, you love them deeply. Pray that they feel that love today, that they sense it, that they know, that they could be assured, according to your word and your spirit, that your love is everlasting, even to the end of the world. in Jesus' name. And all of God's family said amen. Thank you.